Good to be here today. You guys happy to be here? Hey, let's be praying. We got some people in our church that are sick. It seems like we say that every week, but it's true, right? And so we're going to be praying for those. In fact, I can't share it from up here, but we got one person that's pretty ill. And so be praying just that God would heal, and he knows who that is. So guys, it's so good to be with you guys today. I'm always excited just to gather and make much of Jesus and worship together, and I look forward to diving into his word together today. I know we've got plenty of people joining us online as well for those that weren't able to be here. For the last few weeks and in the month of January, we're walking through our series titled Walking with God, and we're looking at his word to see what it means to walk with him as an individual follower of Christ, but also to walk with him as a church family, and then to walk with him and be on mission with him in the world. And it's important for us to know and be reminded that when God created you and me, when he created mankind, he made us for that purpose, to walk with him. Right? He made us to walk with him, to be in a close and personal relationship with him. We were not created just to be religious. Right, we were not created just to check off the God list, right? Hey, I did this today, or I did this, right? We were made to not just go through the motions with a distant deity, but to have a close relationship with the one who created us. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Psalm chapter 1 as we began the new year to see what it looks like to live in a way that God created us, to live a life that is blessed by God. And so we saw two things. When we are walking with God, two things should be evident in your life and in my life. Number one is this: if we're walking with God, it should be evident in our life that we take sin seriously. We take sin seriously. We are to resist the temptation and not walk or stand or sit in sin. But guess what? We're people, and so we find ourselves there periodically, don't we? Amen, right? And so when we find ourselves there, when we take sin seriously, we turn back to God, right? We repent of that. We turn from our sin. So number one, to walk with God, we take sin seriously. Number two is this: to live the life God created us, we are to pursue God, intentionally pursue God and his word. It's to be intentional, like it should be on our calendars, right? We should spend time with God and his word, really making it a priority to learn and grow. And then last week, we looked at how we are to walk and draw near to God in prayer and in fasting. And so we saw that in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching us what it looks like to have a close and intimate and personal time with God, a God who is our Father, right? A God who is in charge, a God who loves us, a God who is with us. And so we've seen what it looks like for us personally, right, you and me, to walk with God individually. Today, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to see what it looks like for us to walk with God together. We're going to see that for us to live the life that God has created us to live, that he's called us to, for us to thrive in our walk with God, we must walk together. This week, as I was studying and preparing and just really going over this together and this idea, I just began to really think and ponder about the church that I grew up in. I was thinking about the church that I pastored at in Kansas City, and I was thinking about Authentic Life Church. And man, I'm just so grateful to God because all the people that God has placed in my life and my church families, they have walked with me, right, and helped me and encouraged me as I follow Jesus. And so there's been many people that have prayed with me and for me. I mean, just think about that, man. If you're walking with God today, you would not be who you are today. I would not be the man I am today without these people that are walking with me, part of my church family. And that's what we want us to see here today. That's the church God wants us to be. Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to see this, that we need each other. Coming here on Sunday morning or watching online or hitting life group is not just something we check off the list. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10. If you guys want to turn there, you can. And we're going to read verses 19 through 25. And there's so much packed into these verses. We could really spend multiple weeks studying it, but I want us to see what it looks like and what it means for us to walk with God together. And as I read this passage, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework assignment right here, or I guess in school assignment, whatever. But I want you guys to follow along as I'm reading, and I want you to see if you can notice two words that are repeated three different times. I want you to notice two words that are repeated three times in these seven verses. So to honor God and his word, would you guys stand with me? We're going to read God's word. You guys follow along as I read. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Here's what God's word says to us today. Therefore, brethren, or brothers and sisters in Christ, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As we're standing, let's just pray. Father, we love you. And God, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that we can read it and we can trust it and we can obey it because it's from you. And God, when the Bible speaks, God is speaking. And so God, we pray, Lord, that we would respond individually and as a church to what you're teaching us today. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You're going to hear me say a lot today, the author says this or the author says that. We don't really know who wrote this. There's a lot of different ideas of was it Paul or was it Peter or was it somebody else. We don't really know who wrote this. But the author begins by pointing out what Jesus has done for us. And when we're reading the first few verses, we see that because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because his body was broken for us, because his blood was shed for us, because of his death and his burial and then his resurrection, we can now, if we're followers of Jesus, if you've been saved by Jesus, we can now boldly, with confidence, enter into the presence of God. And because of what Jesus has done, the Bible calls us to do three things together as a church. Did you guys see the few words that were repeated a few different times? We saw it repeated. It's the word, let us. Right, because of what Jesus has done, in verse 22, let us draw near. In verse 23, let us hold fast. And in verse 24, let us consider. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of divide this into two sections. We're going to look at these three let us statements, and then we're going to see, before we close, two truths from verse 25. We're going to see these three things that we as a church are to do together. So let's just own this. It's not optional. These are things that should be evident in our life as we walk with God. So let's look at the first one, verse 22. The Bible tells us as a church family, as those who are followers of Jesus, it says, let us, because of what Jesus has done, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. So number one is this, as a church family, as we walk with God and we do that together, we help one another draw near to God. We help one another draw near to God. That is God's design, right? Yes, you and I, we have to do this individually, right? We can't do it collectively unless we're doing it individually. We have to pursue God. We've got to take sin seriously. We have to pursue him and to draw near to God as an individual and desire to be with him in his word. But God's design is that we're to do that together and we're to help one another do that. Guys, we are to have others around us that help us draw near to God, that help us flourish and grow in our walk with him. And that's one of the goals of our church family, to be surrounded by other Christ followers that can help us draw near to God. I think this is something that we should be praying for in our own individual lives, right? That God would place other people in our life, people that we can walk with up close and personal. Not through social media, not through text message, but up close and personal, right? Who are helping you and me thrive as we walk with God. 2 weeks ago, we saw in Psalm chapter 1 that we are not to walk in the counsel of the wicked, right? So if we're going to walk with God, we need to take sin seriously and not walk in the counsel of the wicked. We're not to stand, right, amongst sinners. We're not to sit amongst the scoffers. But when we're thinking about this counsel of the wicked, this is what it's saying. Pay attention to who has influence in your life. Pay attention to the type of influence they are having. What are they leading you and helping you? What life are they helping you live? And here's the thing. If their life and their counsel is not pointing you to Christ, then we don't walk with them and listen to them for their counsel. Now, let me be clear. That doesn't mean we can't be friends with them. That doesn't mean we can't hang out with them. That doesn't mean we can't watch the Chiefs game and cheer for the Chiefs to win today. Amen? All right. Got some of you. And I got some head shaking. I want everybody to know online, some people were sinful and shook their head no. So just kidding. we can hang out with them, but not in such a way that we're doing life in such a way where they're speaking counsel into our lives. And I think we got to pay attention to that, church. One of the things we're so quick to do is jumping on our text message or social media or our news or political or what, and we're like, okay, what does this person say? Before we seek the word of God, before we pray, before we ask a godly friend. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says we're to have others in our life where their counsel helps us draw near to God. That's what we're to do as a church family. Personally, we're to be pursuing and walking with God, but church, we were never meant to walk alone. Never meant to walk alone. If you're walking alone as a Christ follower, man, you're missing out. That's not God's design for you. And that's where the church family, the family of God, comes in. We have others pursuing God with us and drawing near to God with us, up close and personal in our lives, that will help us thrive. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone at ALC needs to be all up close and personal in your business, okay? Are you with me, guys? I mean, like, there are just some people that are going to connect better than others. So not everybody needs, we're not going to put it up on the board or anything like that or put it in the bulletin. But you should have, that'd be a little awkward, right? But you should have people that are walking with you that are part of this church family. Others who love you, others who understand you, who are walking with the Lord with you. And it can be hard. You know why? Because we're all different people, right? We got different schedules. We got different things going on in our life, different backgrounds, different lives. But the reality is we have to make it a priority because we need each other. And we at Authentic Life, we believe and pray that each person here should be walking with someone here. Doesn't mean you can't walk with someone outside the church. I got brothers that I walk with outside the church, but we should be walking with people here. We believe that we should be gathering corporately, right? But that we should also be gathering with others in a more up close and personal way. And I don't think there's a perfect way to do that because we all got crazy lives going on, right? We're all busy. But we really believe, church, that one way that we can do that, it's not perfect, but one way that we can do that is life groups, right? Where we're in smaller groups where we can be seen better, where we can be heard better, where we can be loved better with a group of people that will help us draw near to God. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is not a plug for life groups, but it is me saying you should be in one. If you're not in a life group, as your pastor, I'm telling you, you should be in one. Right? I mean, that's the way we do it. We draw close to God together. It's hard to do it in a group this big. Right? But it's easier when we're closer together. But this phrase, let us draw near, is important. When we see the phrase, let us, and then whatever follows, it's written in the Greek language and it's written in the plural. Right? And so it's clearly saying that collectively, together, we're to be drawing near to God to flourish in our faith. All together, with all of our differences and different personalities and different gifts and different backgrounds, right? That's the picture we see here. To walk with God personally, we are also to walk with God and draw near to Him together as a church, not alone. And to be honest with you, church, this is a concern all over the world right now in churches. We've walked through a crazy couple years. And there's not been one pastor friend of mine or somebody that I'm listening to online or someone that I'm talking to that is not really in agreement with this. I mean, I think we're all on the same page on this. There have been many Christ followers that are no longer walking together with other Christians with their church family. Guys, that's not God's design. We've got to find a way to stay connected. We have to. There are folks, let's just be honest, there are folks who have real concern and health issues. Amen? Right? And so, man, I'm so grateful that we can provide an excellent live stream. In 2020, we put a lot of effort, we put a lot of money, we put a lot of resources to make sure we could provide an excellent live stream. And so I'm grateful for tools like Zoom. So those that cannot get out, we got people in our church that are just, like, even told by their doctor, you got to stay home, right? But I mean, there are other people that have some health issues. And so we're so grateful that we have this live stream and YouTube and Facebook and Zoom so that others that cannot get out, did you hear me say that? That cannot get out can stay connected and continue their walk with one another. But if we're honest, there are others in churches all over the world and right here at Authentic Life, everywhere. It's not just here, it's everywhere, who are disconnected, who got disconnected over the last 2 years and have not reconnected. It's so easy to get out of the habit, isn't it? And I want you to know, I mean, if you're on listening online or you're listening to this later, whatever it may be, man, we are praying for you. right? We love you. We're ready to see your faces again. Why? So that we can all follow God's word and all of us draw near to God together. And I'm just going to encourage us, if you notice someone that's missing for a little bit, man, you got to reach out. Let them know they're missed. Are you with me, church? Man, that's not just my job. It's not just life group leader's job. It's not just the youth leader's job. It's your job. It's my job together to reach out and let people know that they're missed so that we can all draw near to God together, so that we can flourish in our faith. Then we look at verse 22. And this is our second let us. The Bible says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised, I love that, is faithful. As we walk with God, the second thing we see is this, as a church family, we help one another hold on to hope. Right? We help one another hold on to hope. Church, I'm so thankful for this one right here. At Authentic Life Church, we get to help each other hold on to the hope that we have in Jesus. Here's the good news. The hope that we see in the Bible, the hope that we have in Jesus, it's not a, I really want this to happen kind of hope. It's not a, I really wish for this kind of hope. The hope that we see here in the Bible, the hope that we have in Jesus is a confident expectation that we can have in who Jesus is. I love this. We see the end of the verse. It says, for he who promised, the one that we can have hope in, he's faithful. God is faithful, church. There has never been a time where he was not faithful. There has never been a time where he broke a promise. Things might not have turned out how we wanted them to. But that's why we trust in him, and we trust in his promises that he's with us and that he's good, and whatever it is that we're walking through, he's walking through with us, and that what he says is best. Over this last season of life, over these last couple years, we have truly needed to hang on to the hope that we have in Jesus. When we think about hope in Jesus, it's us living our life with a deep assurance. You can know that you know that you know. If you've been in church for a while, you've heard that. Do you know that you know? Are you with me, guys? Okay, I'm just dating myself. I'm not that old. I'm only 40, y'all. So I'm looking at some of y'all that are a little bit older than me to help me out here, okay? But you can know for sure that God is faithful. We can have a deep assurance that the pain, the problem, the difficulties that we are facing and walking through is not the end of your story. We're not walking through it alone. And it's important for us to know that, because you know what we do is we are tempted to fix our hope and fix our joy on the things of this world. For example, when things are great, when your job's going well, when your political party wins, when the things that we look to in this world are going well, then guess what? Then our confidence in the future is skyrocketing. But when those things break down, when those things fail, when they don't give us the results that we were hoping for or results that they promised to us, then we find ourselves with nothing to stand on. And we often find ourselves losing hope altogether. Church, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm tired of seeing brothers and sisters lose hope and taking their own lives, losing hopes and checking out, losing hope and giving up on things. Man, we've got to walk through life with one another so that this does not happen. Are you with me, church? We've seen this to be true over the last 2 years. People who have placed their hope in something or someone other than Jesus, and their world is shattered when those things fail and they don't know where to turn. They feel like all hope is lost. But this passage says that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter if there's a pandemic in the world, no matter what's going on around us, we have hope that we can hang on to, hope that will not let us down, church. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, church. For Jesus, for God who promised, is faithful. To hold fast is to this hope in Jesus is to be secure in it. It's to persevere in it. It's knowing that no matter what goes on around me, I belong to Jesus. I am his and he's mine. I'm fully and forever adopted into his family. He is with me and will never leave me. It's holding on to the hope that God loves me and will provide for me, not just in this life, but for eternity. Church, it's not wavering in our hope because we know that God is faithful. We can stand firm. What does this look like in everyday life? This means that Here's a few things. This means that in this world, temptations are going to be plenty. Amen, church? Right? Temptations are going to be plenty. They're going to keep coming. But we can stand firm amongst those temptations. We can turn from that temptation, and we can have victory over that sin and temptation because God is faithful. You know what he tells us? He says God is faithful to provide for us a way of escape from that temptation. You're struggling with temptation, and there's a sin that, you know, your flesh or Satan really wants you to dive into. God gives you a way of escape for that. God is faithful. And here's the other thing. If we fall into that temptation, which we do probably daily, we can have the confidence that we can turn from that and continue to walk with God. Because of what Jesus already accomplished, not because we earned it or deserved it, because of what he did on the cross, right? And that he's going to continue to use us and forgive us and be with us. We can have hope. Why? Because he's faithful, even when we're not. Many of us, if not all of us, have experienced a friend or a loved one leaving us because we messed up. Here's the reality. If you're saved, you've been adopted into the family of God, you can have the hope that Jesus will never leave you. This also means that when the world makes promises and breaks them, our God is the one that remains faithful. Even when our politician, our favored one, the one that we voted for, right, or the celebrity that we look up to, or someone in our life that has made promises to us and they break them, our God never will. He's reliable. He's really the only one who is. I try to be a good and faithful pastor and husband and dad, but I fail. The Lord never will. The Bible says to walk with God is to know that he is faithful and to hold fast to that hope in him. But church, don't miss what it says. It says, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast. We are here to help each other hold on to the hope we have in Jesus. Church, like many of you, Jessica and I have walked through very difficult seasons and moments in life where it was hard and we were hurting. But you know what was amazing is we were surrounded not only by my biological family, but by brothers and sisters in Christ, even right here at Authentic Life Church, that walked with us and reminded us of the goodness of God and the promises of God. Church, this world is full of grief and disappointment, temptations and sin and broken promises, but in Jesus, we have real hope. We got real hope. And we're to walk with one another and help one another and remind one another of that. And one day we're going to be with Jesus. But because we're still in this world, we need each other. Guys, that's God's design, for us to help one another draw near to God and to hold on to the hope we have in him. We remind and encourage one another that he is with us and that he's good. All throughout Scripture, we see this, but I see something real deep I love in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. And it tells us, I'm not going to quote it, but basically this passage tells us that we are to do life together. We're to serve together and glorify God together. But it also says in verse 26 that we're to suffer with each other. When one member of this body is suffering, we suffer with them. When they rejoice, we rejoice with them. That's the body. To walk with God, to hold fast to his hope, we need each other. All right, number three. We looked at verse 24. To walk with God as a church family, it says this, and let us consider how to stimulate one another or provoke one another to love and good deeds. To consider means to watch out for. To consider means to see one another. To consider means to understand them and set your eyes and mind on them. Church, this is a relational phrase here. You can't do this outside of a relationship. Right? We have to be with one another. We have to see and know and understand what's going on in each other's lives. So we have a relationship with one another. And then it says we're to stimulate, which means to provoke and incite one another to love and good works. As we walk with God as a church family, we help one another grow in love and good works. You know what this means practically? It means we help one another be more like Jesus. We help one another love like Jesus. We help one another forgive like Jesus. We help one another live the life of a Christ follower. We're to help one another be used by God and to live for him. You know, one way we can do that is just to start out by loving each other, church. We're super good at like stimulating and provoking one another to anger. Let's get really good at provoking one another to love. Amen, church, right? And living out, let's love each other and live out good works toward each other. Here's the thing, if someone isn't loving me and living out good works, I'm probably not going to let them speak into my life in that area. We help one another love when we love them. We help one another live for Christ as they see us living for Christ. We help one another do good works when they see us doing good works ourselves. And by the way, if you're looking for someone to help you in love and good works and they're not loving you and showing this in your life, probably not a good person for you to do life with. Amen? Practically in our lives, church, this is men walking with other godly men to learn and grow in how to be a godly man, a godly dad, a godly husband, a godly grandfather, a godly employee, a godly neighbor. Men, y'all got to be walking with other men. If you're not, get on it. Women, ladies, walking with other godly ladies to learn how to be a godly woman. Right? To grow in how to be a godly woman and a godly wife and a godly mom and a godly employee and a godly grandmother and a godly neighbor. Ladies, if you're not walking with another lady, get on it. Amen? Am I stepping on toes? I'm really not trying to, but it's just kind of coming out that way. It's okay though, right? Like, that's what we got to do. We got to do it. It's all of us walking together on purpose. Intentionally helping one another grow in our walk with God, intentionally helping each other grow in how to study scripture, grow in their prayer life, grow in sharing Jesus, grow in giving and grow in serving, growing in loving others, growing in how they live for Jesus. Side note, this is also you letting others do that to you. Like, let's get off the pedestal. Let's not be prideful that other people can't speak into your life. Are you with me? All right. And here's the other thing. If you're not sure how to inspire someone else to live this life, just love them. Just love somebody, right? Let them see God at work in your life. Start there. Let them see you love Jesus. Let them see you love others. Let them see you do the good work in your life that Jesus is doing in and through you. Start there. For us as a church, as we provoke one another to love and good works, as we live out love and good works, that life will point others to Jesus. The Bible tells us that. Church, let's show Tucson and Vail, let's show our neighbors, let's show the world around us this is who authentic life is. This is what the church is supposed to do. We were made to do this in our own lives, but we were also made to do it together. What if a powerful picture we see here of the church here in Hebrews chapter 10, a church that is walking with God because they're walking together with God. A church that helps one another draw near to God, a family that helps one another hold on to the hope when times are hard and trying, a church family that helps one another grow to be more like Jesus. That's the design. Church, don't miss this. A church is not a building you come to. Church is not an event you attend. A church is not something that you're a part of just so you can be religious. A church is a loving community. It's a family brought together by God. It's a family that draw near to God together. It's a family that loves one another and grows together and lives for Jesus together. This is a family. This is a body. We belong to this family as we walk to God, walk with God, and we've got to do that together. All right, so we walk through the let us statements, the three let us statements that we are to do, right? Non-optional, we're to do them. But then in verse 25, I want to finish by seeing two truths just in one verse from God's word that we must know and we must follow as his church. Look with me to verse 25. It says this. So we've already seen that we're to draw near together, we're to hold on to hope together, we're to help one another grow. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'm going to share two truths, and then we're going to walk through that. Truth number one is this. As a church family that is walking with God together, we must be committed to gather together regularly. You know, it's really sad. As a church planter, missionary, you study the unchurched. And unchurched used to be those that came to church two times or more a month. And that statistic keeps changing because it's now you're considered fully churched and fully committed to a church if you come once a month. Church, that's 12 times a year. That's not commitment. That's a worldly standard. Be committed to gather together regularly. Right? It says, do not forsake our own assembling together as the habit of some. We're seeing that more and more, aren't we? right? And then truth number two is this, and we're going to talk more about these as we go, but as a church family, we must be committed to encourage one another increasingly. To encourage, that Greek word for encourage means to come alongside. To come alongside, to comfort them. To love on them, to suffer with them, to rejoice with them. It means to warn, right? To speak truth into their lives. To strengthen them. To strengthen one another. Come alongside, comfort, warn, and strengthen one another. And we do this increasingly. You know why? Because the Bible says we're to do this more and more as we see the day drawing near. As we become more and more closer to the day when Jesus comes back, we need to encourage each other more and more. And so verse 25, it says, don't neglect assembling together. Church, this is a heavy word. To neglect means to abandon. Like, God's word's not mincing words here. Don't abandon this in your life. Don't set aside coming together on a regular basis, gathering together. Don't set it aside. Don't put it on the back burner. Don't downplay the importance of coming together regularly, but be committed to it. And we see it lived out throughout the New Testament, right? We see it exampled. We continually see the church was devoted to one another. They were devoted to prayer with one another. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to studying the word together. They were devoted to serving together. They knew they needed each other. Guys, we are getting a warning from God's word here. This is not a suggestion. This is God speaking truth into our life. He says, don't abandon your church family. Be committed to being there regularly. Be committed to being a part of that family. And when we come together, it shouldn't just be come in and check out. It should be come in and be a part of it. Get off the bench. Get your tushy in the game. Amen? Right? And we should be encouraging each other. We should be uniting together. We should be worshiping our God together. We should be learning and growing and speaking into each other's lives. There should be strengthening and crying and rejoicing and coming alongside one another. All of that should be happening at our church. I'm not saying it's not, by the way. Just so we know, I think our church loves, I think we've got this unity thing, but we can always grow in it. The Bible says that we should not neglect that. We should not abandon that, but we should intentionally pursue it. Now, praise God for the technology we have that we can stay connected during this crazy season. There are people in our church that need to be at home right now. And we praise God that we can do this. Hey, guys, just saying hi to you, okay? Say hi back just so we have more hits on our page. All right. But we're not to neglect gathering together regularly. Many people say, what is this talking about specifically? What does the Bible mean to gather regularly? I don't think we have a perfect model right here in Hebrews chapter 10. But we do have biblical models all over. The Bible says that committed followers of Christ were committed to the local church. Church, you guys don't see committed followers of Christ in the Bible that are not committed to their local church. You don't see it. We also see that they gathered together weekly. We know that. They did that. They gathered together weekly. We also see in many places they gathered together daily. They had meals together. They encouraged each other. They played checkers together. I'm sure of it, right? You know, or whatever, you know, Nintendo, right? They met outside of their weekly gathering to do life together. I believe the intent is this. They were devoted and they were intentional about being together as God's people because they trusted Jesus when he said you need it. That's who God made us to be at Authentic Life. This is who we're called to be committed together to togetherness as we walk with God. And so we have our Sunday gathering where we get to do this. Where we worship, where we're united in prayer and purpose and mission, we're devoted to teaching and singing, where we can also talk and connect and check in. We have small groups, life groups meeting during the week, again, devoted to growing in Christ and relationship with one another. Y'all should have friendships in this church, right? I mean, that should be a part of what we got. Y'all have to be friends with me. I don't see anybody raising their hand to join in on that one, all right? Just kidding. Church, we should have friendships developing and growing in our lives daily. Walking with God is something that each and every one of us must pursue, but according to God and his word, we must do that together. We're to walk with God together. We need each other. I want you guys to see something. I don't know, can everybody see this? Can you guys see that? I just had a picture. I tried to put a picture of our actual church, but it said the resolution was too low. So this is Tucson. This is where God has called us. The Bible says that Jesus is building his church, right? He is calling us out. He's calling us to be the church right here in Tucson. Why? So that we can love him together, so we can serve together, so we can grow together, so we can encourage one another, so we can do missions together. Are you with me, guys? That's what he's called us to do. This is the picture. But you know what happens, church? You know what happens is we have some people that just decide that they're going to check out. And this is the picture. And we got others that said, you know what, I'm just tired of being a part of it right now. Or you got others that say, man, I just got other priorities in my life. And you got others that say, man, I know I got a gift of this and that and the other thing, but I'm just not going to use that right now. And you got others that say, man, I just don't really want to get up and go, or I don't want to encourage, or I don't want to pray, or I don't want to gather. And then this is the picture that ends up happening. We cannot be who God has called us to be. The picture that God has designed for us is now broken. We cannot be the family God has called us to be. We cannot complete the picture God has called us to be if we're not all in here together. When someone is missing and you miss them, call them. Love on them. Buy them a cup of coffee. A good one. None of that Starbucks stuff. Amen? Good cup of coffee. All right. Are you guys with me, church? Does this make sense? It better. This cost me money, all right? I made a puzzle, all right? This is the idea. When we are not here, Kim, when you're not here, like when you're not here, when you're not here, when you're, I didn't mean to call you out by name, right? But when we're not here, we cannot be who God has called us to be. We can't. We need people. We need people to be plugged in, using their gifts, using their talents, encouraging one another. Let's pray.